Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Mem Gimel. We will begin on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud. In our previous Shi'ur, Rabbah had established that we are allowed to do Hatzolah Metzuyah. Anything that represents a Hatzolah, which is common, we're allowed to do on Shabbos, even though it involves carrying something and leaving it there. Ask the Gemara. It says in a Mishnah, Koifen Karal Ner Shloyachas Bekaro. We could turn over a bowl over a lamp in order that it shouldn't set fire to a beam on top of it. Now, a beam is muksa. It's built into the house. And still we're learning that we're allowed to take the bowl for the sake of protecting the beam. Why are we allowed to take a bowl to sake for the sake of the beam? Isn't there a locha ein keli nitel ela tzarech dovra nitel? You could only move something on behalf of something which is not muksa. The beam, however, in our Gemara is muksa. Answers the Gemara, bebati gechinim. Our Mishnah's talk, the Mishnah over there is referring to a house that has a low ceiling, the shchicha beit deleika. And as Rava keeps on teaching us, when it's something which is shchiach, then for Hatzolah Metzuyah, we could move something even for muksa purpose. Rashi says that we're talking here about a lamp that's made out of cheres. Because, explain the Rishonim, Rashi would be concerned if the lamp was made out of metal, because if it was made out of metal, it would become hot, and that would be a melacha of Havara. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam says we're speaking about whether it's metal or not metal, whether it's earthenware or metal, the same halacha would apply. There's a fundamental shaila that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal discusses in the Shalos Tshuvos Minchas Shlomo Simen Zayin. Our Gemara, end of yesterday's shiur, the beginning of today's shiur, is going to discuss a number of situations where technically it would be also to move something. Ein keli nitel ela tzarech dovar nitel. You're not allowed to move something only for the purpose of something which is not muksa. But when it's Hatzolah Metzuyah, it's mutter. So ask Rav Shlomo Zalman, okay, we understand a situation of Hatzolah, but why do we allow these different situations, which are presumably usur, to be done? Why don't we just have somebody stand there in different situations and warn that there's a concern that there's going to be danger here and not have to come on to doing an isser? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, from here we see that Chazal were not matriach anybody to do more than that they're required. So even though technically that would be a way of preventing the problem, by having somebody standing there and warning you, don't go close to something which is dangerous, Chazal never made us do so. We learned, the Mishnah says, V'kein Kairish Nishbur, the Mishnah says later in Amasechta, that if you have a beam that broke on Shabbos, Soim Chanayse B'Ksafsol or B'Karas Amita, we could support it with a chair or with the sideboards of a bed. Now, the Gemara, so we're taking something which is not muksa for the purpose of muksa. Now, the Gemara again here assumes that this is something that isn't common. And the only time Rava was lenient in us taking muksa is by Hatzolah Metzuyah. This is not a Hatzolah Metzuyah. Answers the Gemara, it's a Hatzolah Metzuyah. We're talking about B'Kshuri Chadati. We're talking about new beams, the Avdi the Paki, that are commonly broken. And since they're commonly broken, that's considered a Hatzolah Metzuyah. Now, makes the Ayalos HaShachar a very important point. When we speak over here that you're putting the beam there, it must be a situation where you're not going to leave that beam to support the chair permanent. You're not going to leave the chair there or the board there permanently. Because if you're going to leave the chair there on a permanent basis, that would be considered binyan and that would be certainly usur. Says the Gemara, nois and kli, we're going to learn in the Mishnah in Masechta Beya, nois and kli tachas adlaf b'shabbos. We're allowed to put a vessel under a leaking roof on Shabbos. Again, assumes the Gemara, that leaking water is not common. Leaking water is muksa, because it's not the water that you're going to want to drink. Yet we're saying we're allowed to take a vessel for the sake of catching that leak. Why isn't that considered en keli nitel el tzarch dova nitel? And Rabbi's dispensation was only by hatsola mitzuya. Answers the Gemara, the bati charati, our Mishnah dealing with a new house, the shrich de dalfi, that very often they leak. And the way Rashi explains that because they put on these new beams, so the new beams cause the roof to crack. So this is Rabbi's interpretation of Rav Chisda's rule, that the reason we have to be concerned is because ein keli nitel tzarich davar nitel. But Rav Yosef comes with a new reason why we're not allowed to, hanatam de Rav Chisda, why you're not allowed to put a utensil under a head and to receive the egg. Bishim de kumavata keli mechana. A whole new reason, by putting the egg there, he's taking it and making it be the entire Shabbos. And there's a very big, interesting point to make here. Rashi here says that the reason is because of binyan. By putting that keli there, and it'll have to remain there for the duration of Shabbos, it looks like binyan. But Rashi asked Tosfos later in our Masechta, and Daf Kuf Nandal Amud Beis, says that it looks like soyser. So ask the Pnei Yeshua, so the Pnei Yeshua tries to understand Rashi's opinion. Is it boiner or is it soyser? So says the Pnei Yeshua, we have to look at the situation. When you put a keli, as in the case of our Mishnah, under the candle, you could use that keli steer. You could use that keli. It doesn't become unusual. The only problem is you can't move it as long as the muksa is in it. That's considered binyan, because you didn't make the keli unusable. Where does Rashi say that it's considered soyser? There it's talking about a case that there were pillows and blankets that you put to catch glass kalim on. Now you can't use those kalim for their regular use anymore. You can't lay on that pillow and blanket because it has the glassware, which is muksa, and you can't use it. That's why it's called soyser. So in other words, says the Pnei Yeshua, both pshatim of Rashi are correct. Sometimes it looks like binyan, and sometimes it looks like soyser. It depends on the situation. There's an interesting shaila. What's going to be halacha if you put a keli that you put something into the keli that we learned in the previous year, that if you don't just use a keli that's empty, but you're going to have in the keli something that's also mutter, so then the halacha would be different. Because even if the candle falls into it, it will be a keli that has something mutter and asr in it, and a keli that has something mutter and asr in it will be mutter to be moved. So the Mashah asks, what will be the halacha if you put into the keli something which you may not eat or have enough from, but it's still something that you're allowed to move? Will that be enough of a reason to be lenient? And the Mashah says that even under those circumstances, that would be enough of a reason that one could be lenient with the heter that we discussed in our previous year. Eisvei Abaya asks Abaya, it says in a brisa, Chavishal Tevel Shenishbro, if a barrel of Tevel broke, maybe Kliyachem Nechtachtach, you could bring a Keli that, and have the Keli, and the Tevel should fall into that Keli. Now Tevel is Muksa, because you're not allowed to eat Tevel, obviously, on Shabbos, yet the brisa says that we could take a vessel to catch the Tevel. Answers the Gemara, Omer Lei, Rav Yosef responds, Tevel Mukhanu to Shabbos. Tevel's not really muksa. Because the halacha is shev amra v'siknoi, that if somebody catches, that if somebody catches the takes off tevel on Shabbos mesukin, even though it's not something that you're not supposed to, even though it's something you're not supposed to do, still but the evidence acceptable, and since it doesn't therefore have, therefore it's not considered muksa because it's something that theoretically you could be able to eat. When could you eat it? If you took off the tevel on Shabbos. But as Tosfos, the halacha is that indeed that if you took the tevel off on Shabbos, the halacha is that you're allowed to eat it, but that halacha is that only if you took it off b'shogeg. But if you took it off b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat it. And our sugya, it seems, says Tosfos, is talking about it under all circumstances, shem avoy v'sikna m'sukin, says Tosfos, that this distinction that we made between taking Trumas and Maisers b'shogeg on Shabbos, that you're allowed to eat it, versus you took Trumas and Maisers on Shabbos, but maize, you're not allowed to eat that produce, is only when you have other food available. But if you have no other food available, then the halacha is that even if you took it off b'mezid, the halacha is that you're allowed to eat it. So therefore, the question that Tosfos adds falls away. This Gemara is the basis, says the Noida Behuda, for a psak of the Rambam. The Rambam, in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Trumas Halacha Beis, says that somebody is allowed to take off truma from somebody else's produce, even without permission. Because our Gemara says that why is this tevel not considered muksar? Because but the evidence, if you took the tevel off, it would be acceptable. Now, if you need to have the owner's permission, so then the Gemara should have made a distinction and said that when do we have this heter? Only if the owners are here. But if they're not here, this tevel cannot be mesukin. The fact that the Gemara doesn't make that distinction, says the Noida Behuda, there's a raya to the psak of the Rambam, that even if not only can the owner take Truma Maisra, but somebody else as well. The next case, we learned in a Mishnah, Noisen Keli Tachsanola Kabel Netzoytus. We could put a vessel under a lamp to catch falling sparks. Now again, the same question. The sparks are muksa, yet we could take the non-muksa vessel to catch them. Answers the Gemara, Amar Bihuna Brev Yeshua, our Mishnah is talking about Netzoytus Ein Bei Mamish. Netzoytus are not considered anything of significance, since they're not considered significance. Therefore, it's not something that there's no problem that it becomes muksa. The Ken Kairish in Ishbara, we learned in the Mishnah that a bream broke. We spoke about this earlier. We could support it with a bench or with the sides of a bed. Now, once you're using it for that purpose, you're taking a non-muksa item and putting it there on for permanent on Shabbos. Why is this not a violation of Ein Keli Nitel L'tzarech Dava Nitel? Answers, the Gemara, we're talking about a situation, the Rafi, that you didn't put it there in a strong way. It's talking that you put it there in a weak way. The Rafi, the Ibai Shokale, you could take it away. And therefore, it's not considered Mevatel Keli L'chanchanam. Ask the Gemara. We learned nice and keli tachsadalaf b'Shabbos. We could put a vessel to catch leaking rainwater on Shabbos. Now, that's muksa. Answers the Gemara. So how could I take a keli for that purpose? Answers the Gemara. It's talking about a situation of bedalaf haroi, leaking water that is suitable for drinking, and therefore it's not considered muksa. There's a very interesting discussion that the Bir Halacha has in Simen Shin Lamed Ches, Divrei HaMaskel Mishum. The Bir Halacha says that we know that many people, how do they wash Negel Vassar in the morning? They take water they wash their hands into a keli. And the same is you wash my machroinim into a keli. Now, ask the Bir Halacha that that water, water that was Negelwasser water, or water that was Mayim Achronim water, may not be used for any purpose. So if it can't be used for any purpose, why isn't that a concern of Dlaf Shein Aroi? And the halacha is that if it's water that you can't use, you can't take a keli for that purpose. So the Briar halacha says, he himself suggests, that maybe we're lenient because we're going to consider it a graf shalrei. The halacha is something which is repugnant on Shabbos, even though its muksa may be moved. So here, since it's a graf shalrei, maybe that's why it may be moved. Answers the Briar halacha, says the Briar halacha, we can't rely on that heter, because the halacha is, ein oisim graf shalrei l'chatchila. We're not allowed to deliberately make a graf shalrei. So we're back to our question. How can we take a vessel by the Mayim Achronim or by the Negelwasser that the water should fall into that vessel when that vessel will now be something that I can't move because that water has no use on Shabbos? Says the Briar halacha very bechiddush. He says, when the water is not usable, when the entire reason that the water is not usable is only because it's halachically not usable, as it's because of a ruach ra, that isn't considered a situation of that you made it of ein keli nita el tzarch davar nital. He explains the only time we have a concern of ein keli nital el tzarch davar nital is where in the mitzias, the actual water, if it would be water that's not usable. Here it's good water. There's a halacha consideration of ein keli nital el tzarch davar nital. That is not considered, that doesn't make it that it should not be considered a dlaf haroi. Ask the Gemara. It says in a brisa, kaifenes asal lefnei avroichim, shi'al v'shi'erdu. We're allowed to turn over a basket in front of birds that they should be able to climb up and down from their nest. Now the birds are muksa, living things are muksa. And therefore, how could I take a keli for that purpose? Answers the Gemara. Kesavim mutal atatli. Reb Yosef, the Tan of that Braisa holds that the keli doesn't become muksa just because it was used for birds. And once the birds will go off, I can move it. And therefore, it's not considered a problem. Has the Gemara of Tanya, but we learned in the Braisa, osla tatli, that you're not allowed to move it. Answers the Gemara. When may you not move it? Biden olav, when the birds are off are on the keli. But once the birds are off, I could move it. But Tanya asked the Gemara, but there's a brayse that says af b'shein oidan olav. Even if the birds are no longer on it, you may not move this basket. Answers the Gemara, that's a unique situation. Amar Avuah, biden olav bein hashmoshes. It's only when the birds are on it for the entire bein hashmoshes. Because there is a new rule. Migad is katsoi lebein hashmoshes, is katsoi lekula yoima. The halacha of muksa is determined lebein hashmoshes. And that is, as the pasuk says, v'hoyu b'yoyim ha'shin v'chinu ha'shir yaviyu. So anything that's usable bein hashmoshes doesn't become muksa. But if it's not usable bein hashmoshes, it became muksa during bein hashmoshes, then the halacha is that it remains muksa for the entire duration of Shabbos. So in other words, to summarize the Gemara, if the birds were on the basket for an entire duration of Bein HaShemoshes, the halacha would be that you can't move that basket. If the birds are not there for the entire duration of Bein HaShemoshes, so while the birds are actually on the basket, you can't move the basket because the basket is muksa. The birds are muksa. But when the birds go off, you can move the basket. And therefore, even though you turn the basket over so the birds should go on it, they're going to go off. And when they're going to go off, I'm going to be able to move it. So that's not a violation of ein keli nital, the tzarech nital. The Prima Gadim says that, as we just said a moment ago, the definition of when something becomes muksa is bein hashmoshes. Says the Prima Gadim that it depends on Bein HaShemoshes. Not when you're Mekabel Shabbos. Because it, otherwise our Gemara should have made that distinction. The Gemara, whenever it speaks about muksa, becoming muksa, not becoming muksa, speaks about bein hashmashos, says the Prima Gordon, from here we see that the definition of muksa is dependent on bein hashmashos. Furthermore, says the Prima Gordon, let's look at the words of our Gemara. Our Gemara says, ba'oidin olof kol bein hashmashos. That means in order for something to be muksa, it had to be muksa for the entire duration of bein hashmashos. But if it wasn't there for the entire duration, it wasn't muksa for the entire duration of bein hashmashos, even though it was muksa for part of it, it would not be considered muksa. The achroidim do say that there is one exception to that rule, and that is muksa machmas mitzvah. Muksa machmas mitzvah, we gave an example earlier in our masechta, of muksa machmas mitzvah is noy sukkah. There the halach is that it has, even if it's part of bein hashmashos, it becomes muksa for the entire Shabbos for Yontif. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Kshem Shein Noisen Kli Kachas Kanagoylus Kal Beitz Oso, says Rav Yitzchak, just like you can't put a keli to catch the egg, Kach Ein Koifen Ola Kli B'Shvil Shatul Tishabar. You can't take it, says the Gemara, because his opinion is, Ein Keli Nitel Ela Dovar Nitel B'Shabbos. I can never move a keli for something which is muksa, says the Gemara. Meisvei kol hanan tiyufta, but we had all these brises that allowed us to move things or put things for things that are muksa. And he says that there's never a heter. Answers the Gemara of Ashani, the answer is b'tzarech l'makayim. As we've discussed previously, even a keli shemalachta le'isser, the halacha is that you're allowed to move it l'tzarech gufoy u'makayim, if you have a need for it itself or you need its place. So here we're talking about a situation, says the Gemara, where I'm moving it letzorich mekaymai, and from here we see a very important halacha. Once I'm allowed to move it letzorich mekaymai, then the halacha is that I can move it to wherever I want. So indeed, I'm not allowed to move a non-muksa object for the sake of muksa. But once I'm moving it because I'm allowed to move it letzorich mekaymai, says the Gemara, I can move it as far as I want. And the Gra says that this is the makar for that halacha, that once I'm moving something letzorich mekaymai, I can move it wherever I want. The Masha asks, why don't the Gemara say a different answer? We've learned, and we're going to learn, that the halacha is that Rav Shimon takes a much more lenient view towards muksa. So why don't we say that all these brises that are lenient are following the opinion of Rav Shimon, who's lenient when it comes to muksa? Says the Masha, since we find so many mishnayos and brises that follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara did not want to give that teretz. Toshma, ask the Gemara against Rabbi Yitzchak. It says in a brisa, ach speish nolda b'Shabbos, v'ach speish nolda b'Yontif. Whether you have an egg that was born on Shabbos or on Yontif, aim a tatlin, we're not allowed to move it. Loyal chasis basa keli, you can't move the egg. That if you want to move the egg to cover a vessel with it, or lismach bakari mita, they used to use an egg to support something heavy. Avakoyfen like keli b'shloit tishaver. We may move a keli on top of it. We may move the keli on top of it to prevent the egg from getting broken. But if the halacha, Rabbi Yitzchak says, is that the halacha is very firm, that ain't keli nitel el tzorich davar nitel, how can we move it for that purpose? Answers the Gemara, hachinami, we have to say the teretz of tzorich l'mekaymai. And as Tosfos says, the teretz of tzorich l'mekaymai was already said by the Gemara. So what's the point of repeating it? Says Tosfos, the Gemara wanted to see if we could come up with a different teretz. Once we couldn't come up with other teretz, the Gemara reverts back to its old teretz of tzorich l'mekaymai. Toshma, says the Gemara, a different question. The halacha is, Pars machtzos al gaba avonim b'Shabbos, will let us spread mats over stones on Shabbos. The stones are muksa. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about stones which are not muksa. We're talking about b'avonim b'krulozois. The Chazan l'basiki say they used to use those stones for when they went to clean themselves in the bathroom. Toshma, the Brisa says, Pars machtzos al gaba levenim b'Shabbos, you let us put mats on top of bricks on Shabbos. Now, bricks are muksa. Bricks are used to build. Aren't they muksa?
Answers the Gemara, the bricks that are being referred to in that brisa are bricks de ishtar mibinyana that were left over from construction. So they're not going to be used for another building project. What they use those bricks for, the chazal mezgalei, they use to sit on. And therefore, they're not considered muksa. Tashma. So the Gemara asks from the following brisa. The brisa says, parsa machtzelos agabel kaveris tovarim b'shabbos. We're allowed to put a mat on top of a beehive on Shabbos. B'chama b'nei chama, in the sun, in the summer because it's hot. B'gishama b'nei gishama, in the winter because of the rain. V'vachalo yiskaven lotzud, as long as it's not your intention to catch, trap the bees that are in the beehive. Now, a beehive is muksa. So how could I move something on behalf of the beehives? Answers the Gemara, hachem ma'iskinen, we're talking about a situation, v'ikadvash, where there's honey in the beehive, and the honey, therefore, is not muksa. The halacha is that you're not allowed to remove honey from a beehive on Shabbos, so why is the honey not considered muksa? So one teretz that Tosfos gives is that there's honey on top of the beehives that doesn't require any act of removal. Another answer is that since the entire issa of removing it may be only the Rabbanon, so there are opinions that say that if the issa is only the Rabbanon, that wouldn't make it into muksa. Amalei Rav Akiva Meishel Ravashi. Ask Rav Akiva Meishel to Ravashi. Tenev Amai Sachama. The answer you just gave us is understandable in the summer. Dikad Vash, and there's honey. And the honey is not muksa, so I can move the mat on behalf of the honey. However, b'maisa gesham the lack of dvash in the winter when there is no honey, ma'ikal meima, because the metzias was that they used to take off the honey in the summer, but not in the winter. There's no honey in the winter. Answers the Gemara le'nitzcha elois and shtei cholos. They used to leave two honeycombs even in the winter, so that the bees should have what to eat during the winter. And therefore, I'm taking it on behalf of those honey, on behalf of the honey. Ask the Gemara, v'amiksusnenu, those honeycombs are designated on behalf of the bees. They're not designated for us to use. So even though that there is indeed honey there, but that honey is muksa. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about the chishuv alayu, that we intend that this person before Shabbos had a mind that he's going to use that honey, he's going to eat that honey, and therefore that honey is not considered muksa. Ask the Gemara, so what we see from here is, haloi chishuv alayu, had he not had that intention, what would be the halacha? Since even though there's honey there, but that honey is muksa, you would not be allowed to take anything on behalf, you would not be allowed to take the mats on behalf of that honey. So says the Gemara, let's go back to the braisa. Ihochi, hada tanu bilachli iskaven lotzud. When you're putting the mat on top of the honey, on top of the beehive, you're allowed to put it there as long as you don't intend to trap the bees. Says the Gemara, the Braisa could have said even a bigger chiddush. List of a list of the dog. The medvar mamurim, if it's in the winter, when am I allowed to do it? Only kishechishev aleim, when I intended to eat the honey. Since I intended to eat the honey, that's why it's not muksa. Avaloi chishev aleim, if I didn't intend to eat the honey. So the honey is muksa, and if the honey is muksa, then I can't take a mat on behalf of it. Answers the Gemara, Hakamashman, says the Gemara, indeed, the Gemara could have said that distinction, Bryce could have given him that distinction, but the Gemara felt there's a more important distinction to teach us, and that is that even though you intend to eat that honey, you have to be careful of that you shouldn't trap the bees. So the Gemara said that we're allowed to take the mat, even during the winter, it's when you intend to use those honeycombs. Now ask the Gemara Mani, who is the Tana of this Raisa? Reb Shimon, if we want to say it affects the opinion of Reb Shimon, lastly, muksa. As we said earlier in our shiur, Reb Shimon is lenient in general when it comes to Hilchas Muksa. Reb Yehuda, if on the other hand we want to say that the Braisa reflects the opinion of Yehuda, Kloy Meskavim Mayhavi, what's the difference that he didn't intend to trap? Didn't we learn so many times already in our Masechta that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Dovah Shem Miskaven is Asur? Answers the Gemara, Loyalam Rabbi Yehuda. We could still say that the Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. I, Rabbi Yehuda, should say it's Asur because it's Dovah Shem Miskaven to catch it. Or my Vachla Miskaven Lotzud, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't intend to trap it. It means you have to put the mat in such a way that it shouldn't be a trap. You have to leave lishvik leirufcha, that it should be left a little room for the beast to escape. That it wouldn't be considered seder under any circumstances. In other words, even less than a psikresha, it's nothing. Because if I put it in a way that the bees are certainly not trapped, even Rabbi Yehuda will be makel. Rav Ashi comes to give a different question on Rav Akiva Mimashin's teretz. He says, Miktanim and Moisacham and Moisach Shomim. He says, let's learn the words of the Braisa well. The Braisa didn't say summer and winter. The Braisa said, Chama b'nei chama, in the summer because of the summer, or B'kshama b'nei g'shamim, the sun and the rain. It didn't say summer and winter. So what are we talking about? We're talking about B'yomim Nisan and B'yomim Tishrei, Nisan and Tishrei. Dika chama, there's heat from the sun. Dika g'shamim, and there's rain. Vikadvash, and then the honey that everybody's interested in eating. That, everybody will agree, is that honey, those honeycombs are not muksa. And since those honeycombs are not muksa, I could take a mat on their behalf, and it's not a violation of Ein Keli Nittel Ela Tzarech Dovan Nittel. Amalu Rav Sheshes, Puk of Amalei Rav Yitzchak, Kvat Tigmer Rav Huna L'Shmatzach B'Bovel. Go tell Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna already discussed your halacha in Bovel. Dama Rav Huna, Oysa Mechitza Lameis B'Shvil Chai, we can make an awning to protect a corpse if we do it on behalf of a living person. They Oysa Mechitza Lameis B'Shvil Mes. But we can't do it on behalf of a mace. A mace, we know, is muksa. So therefore, if we're doing something on behalf of a living person, who obviously is not muksa, we're allowed to do it. But if we're doing it on behalf of a person who's not alive, the muksa, you can't take a keli on behalf of somebody, on behalf of something which is muksa. Ask the Gemara, what did Rav Huna mean? Mahi. Dom Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, v'chein tana shila mori, meis ha-mutl b'chama, if you have a mace out in the sun, and you can't move the mace, for as we just said, the mace is muksa, what should you do? Bon shnei b'nei adam v'yosh mitzidai, two people should sit on the side of the mace, when they feel hot on the bottom, they were sitting on the floor, but the floor gets very hot from the sun, so they could bring a bed to sit on it. And when they feel hot from the top, they bring a mat to spread over their head. Then this one takes his bed, and he has the mat and on top already, and he puts the bed up. And so does the other person do, and that's how you mechitza on behalf of the mita, on behalf of the mess. But what do we have? So again, the first thing we see is that this was only permitted l'tzorech, the living person. You're not allowed to take kelim l'tzorech a mes, l'tzorech a muksa. And how can it be constructed? So now we go into the halachas of when there's iser a binyan oil on Shabbos, and when is there no iser binyan oil on Shabbos? And oil means that you make the roof and then you make the sides. Over here, since you make the sides and then the roof, that is considered mutter. Again, only in these circumstances that there's a tzayrach. So the Tehillah of David says that in many shuls, the meaning is that on Simchas Torah, by Chasson Torah, by Chasson Bereishis, they put a talus over all the people who are standing, listening to the Aliyah, says the Tehillah of David. Again, since that's being done, L'kavod HaTorah, the halacha is something that's being dalek kavod haTorah is the same like our Gemara says something that's being dalek kavod hameis, and that's why it may be done. Of course, the question comes up. From here, we see that the way an oil is constructed is by having a covering and then the sides. So the question is, if that's the only definition of an oil, why may we not walk with a umbrella on Shabbos? And as the Chasam Sofer certainly points out, that an umbrella only has a top. It doesn't have a side. And the Chasam Sofer says that since, as we've learned in our Gemara many times, the source for all malachas on Shabbos is what was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they didn't have something that just had a top with no sides. And therefore, he's not quite sure what the issue of an umbrella is. He says, certainly there is no issa d'oraisa. Says the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosoi, quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman, that an umbrella is a new type of oil. He says, when you have something that was meant to be an oil, even though it doesn't have sides, but it's meant to be an oil, that's considered an oil under all circumstances. Furthermore, the Noi de Behuda in a tshuva, somebody discusses this issue with the Noi de Behuda, and the Noi de Behuda says that even though we could make an argument why an umbrella should be mutter on Shabbos, he says that opening up an umbrella on Shabbos is considered an oil on Shabbos. The Chazan Ish says that an umbrella on Shabbos represents Uvda D'chol. He's considered it's a pirtza for Chil Shabbos, and therefore under no circumstances, even a situation where there are Paiskun that want to be lenient, when if you open up the umbrella before Shabbos, maybe it should make a difference, he says you can't be lenient. But if you're just spreading a talus on top of an area, that may be mutter. And that's why I saw that the Shalz of Chuvis Tzitz Eliezer, Chelig Yud Simen Dalid, says that there was a situation once where people were davening by the Kaisel on Shabbos, and it started to rain. And somebody took the talesim to cover the people who were standing there. And it's like, so he compares it to the case, even though it's not a perfect comparison, he compares it to the case of the talis on top of the people on Simchas Torah, and it would be mutter. But as we learned, the Tehillel David says there's a special reason why we make on Simchas Torah. I don't know if that reason applies under all circumstances. Itmar, continues the Gemara, meis ha-mutter b'chama. You have a mace out in the sun, and as we keep on repeating, a mace is muksa. So now you have a problem, what should you do with that mace? Rabbi Yehuda Amishmul says, hoifchai mimitta l'mitta, roll the mace from one bed to the next. That's the way you could be able to transport the mace. Rav Chanina Mishrael Mishmei the Rav Amma Menech lo kikur v'tinik matatla. Put on it a child or a piece of bread, which are obviously not muksa, and therefore you could move it that way. As Rav Kiv Eger, if you have the heter, that if there's something non-muksa here, that's why I can move it, so why do I need a kik or a tinneret? I have the bed that the mace is laying on. Says the Rishash, that the bed is considered toffel and bottle to the mace. What's the reason? Because he says, the halacha is that if you're allowed to carry a human on Shabbos, because chai noisa atzmoi, you can even carry it with the bed, because the bed is considered toffel to the person. So just like it's toffel to a living person, it's also toffel, unfortunately, to a dead person, and you can't carry the bed that he's laying on. The question is, what about the clothing that the mace is wearing? So indeed, the Mordechai says that we have to be speaking here about a mace that's not wearing clothing. But if the mace is wearing clothing, then the clothing is why you could move it. Ask the Shlop, the Beis Yosef disagrees, And he says, similar concept to what we just heard from the Rishash, that the clothing of the mace are considered tuffel to the mace. And since the clothing of the mace are considered tuffel to the mace, so the halach is that if you can't carry the mace, you can't carry the clothing either. And the shlo brings a raya to the opinion of the Beis Yosef, because we learned on Daf Lamed, the episode where David HaMelech died on Shabbos, and Shlomo HaMelech had the question, how could he be moved? But presumably, says the Shlo, David HaMelech was wearing clothing. And even though he was wearing clothing, we see that they weren't allowed to move him unless they had a kik or a tinnik. So we see that the clothing that the mace is wearing doesn't allow you to move the mace, right to the Beis Yosef. Say the Mefarshim that that isn't a great raya, because we know that the Begodim, the king, the Magen Avraham says that to defend the Mordechai, the clothing of a king, no one's allowed to wear after he passes away. So when is clothing considered something that because of them you can move the mace? Only when they're clothing which are wearable by others. But clothing that aren't wearable by others, even the Mordechai would agree, are not clothing that you could carry the mace because of them. The halach is that even though regular people may not wear the clothing of a mace, a king may wear the clothing of a mace, so they were wearable for Shlomo HaMelech. Answer the Mefarshim that obviously David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech weren't the same size. And if they weren't the same size, Shlomo HaMelech could not have worn those clothing, and therefore no one else could wear the clothing because they can't wear the clothing of a king. Shlomo couldn't have worn the clothing because they didn't fit. And that's why they had to come up with a different eitzah. Says the Gemara, Heich deika kik or tinnik, where kik or tinnik are available, klo amalai pligi deshari. Everybody agrees you can rely on the kik or tinnik. Ki pligi, the question is, the leslay, when there are no kik or tinnik available. Ma'asav atiltel menatzad shmei tiltel. That's considered moving, and therefore you can't move it that way. Or Maksava, and the other man Dharma holds that that's not considered tiltal, it's not considered moving something, and since it's not considered moving, that's why the aloch is, it may be moved on Shabbos that way. Says the Gemara, Lema Katanoi. Says the Gemara, maybe this is already Machloikis Tanoim. The aloch is, Eimat Tzilas Ameis with Nei Lika. We're not allowed to save a mace from a fire coming towards it. Amar Yehuda ben Lakish, Shemati Shematzilas a mace with Ne'eleka, that you may. Ask the Gemara, let's understand the situation of that brisa. E, Dika Kikur Tinnik, if there are a Kikur Tinnik that we could put on the mace, my time in Tanakama, why can't I move it? We just learned that we can move a mace when you have a Kikur Tinnik. E, the Leka, my time in Yehuda ben Lakish, that says I can move the mace. It must be, suggests the Gemara, that the machloikis is about tiltum and atzad pligi. The mass of a tiltum and atzad shmei tiltum, and therefore you can't move the mace that way. Or mass of a loy shmei tiltum, says the Gemara loy. It could be that everybody agrees that alma tiltum and atzad shmei tiltum, and normally you're not allowed to move muksa with a tiltum and atzad. The higher time of Yehuda ben Lakish, here, why is Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish lenient? For a new reason, a person, if we won't allow him to move his mace when the fire is coming, if we won't allow him to do tilkum and atzad, where he may extinguish the fire. And that's why we're more lenient. And in fact, says the Gemara, Amr Yehuda ben Shelo, Amr Rav Asi, Amr Rav Yochanan, halak Rav Yehuda ben Lakish for mace, that tilkum and atzad is mutter, will tzar chameis, because we're worried that otherwise you're going to extinguish the fire. So says Taisus, from here we see that the halacha is that tiltum and atzad is choshev tiltum. But as Taisus, that we see in other places that tiltum and atzad loy choshev tiltum. So what is the halacha? So Taisus says it depends what the purpose of the tiltum and atzad is. If the tiltum and atzad is l'tzoyruch dovra muksa, then it's osur. If the tiltum and atzad is not l'tzorich tova muksa, then it's mutter. We learned in the Mishnah, we're not allowed to use the oil that drips out of the lamp because it wasn't prepared for Shabbos. Tana says, Tana Rabbanan says, the Gemara, Moisa Hashem of Aner Shebekara, the leftover oil, Osir, because it's Muksa, and Rav Shimon, following his opinion, that Rav Shimon says throughout Shas, that it's Mutter, because Rav Shimon doesn't hold a Muksa, and therefore after it goes out, you're allowed to use that oil. However, even Rav Shimon, who just learned, and we're going to discuss this in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow sure again, holds that the leftover oil may be used after the fire goes out. That's only on the Shabbos candles. But the leftover oil that on the Hanukkah candles, Rav Shimon agrees, may not be used. They're huksel mitzvasoi, and they should only be used for the purpose of Hanukkah candles.